Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-5. Happy Friday. Thank you for listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. As we do every Friday, we will do Ask Us Anything if you want. Go ahead and get your questions in 913-576-7610. We always answer your questions at the end of every Friday. Today has been a very busy day in the world of sports. I guess that's what happens when the game returns. Unfortunately, today is not about the games when it comes to Major League Baseball. No sport, at least in America, has been hit as hard with the virus as Major League Baseball. That's where we have to start today in the hits.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Well, as Carrington alluded, the biggest news story of the day, according to Jeff Passan, Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred told MLB PA Executive Director Tony Clark, if the sport doesn't do a better job managing the coronavirus, it could shut down for the season. Sean, if the league does shut down, should Rob Manfred's job be in jeopardy?
His job should probably be in jeopardy, Rob, even if they pull off this season, because it feels like as he's not just a figurehead, he's the decision maker. He's the guy that was going to actually have the power if there's no adult in the room, and there appeared not to be between the owners and the players, to say, okay, kids, here's where we're going to play. Here's how we're going to play. Here's how much you're going to get paid. He's got that power, and now he's the same guy that has the power to tell us that the baseball season is going to be over with. Certainly, he should resign from his post if there's not a baseball season. And even if they pull it off, Carrington, I think there's going to be some sort of an outcry, because the truth is, Rob Manfred, before the season started, he could have walked into our studio and I might not have known who he was. He's not exactly David Stern or Adam Silver or Paul Tagliabue or Roger Goodell, Dana White. We know what these commissioners look like. And then there's Rob Manfred. So for a guy that's been at his job for 8 or 9 years, I can't really point to one thing and say he did a good job with that.
This has been an absolute PR nightmare and disaster for Major League Baseball. A couple of things, though, confuse me. Number one, why did the players even have the power to go play on Sunday? A lot of the problems and where we sit now on Friday in Major League Baseball is the players then opted to play. I don't care if you play sports at a high level or don't. You understand that players are always going to opt to play and go out there and compete, and that people from the outside have to take that ability away from them. They shouldn't have been allowed to do it. My second thing is, what's the purpose of the taxi squad? Like, what's the purpose this year of creating these 60-man rosters where in situations like this, you're not just keeping things up? Like, weren't we told in this entire process it was going to be next man up? It hasn't been next man up. It's been, if you catch the virus, we cancel the game. But if you were always expecting to get positive tests, then you were always expecting to cancel games. The Major League Baseball plan has been haphazard at best and doesn't really appear to have a direction. MLS had a direction. They had so many positive tests on a team, they just said, hey, you have to remove yourself from the bubble. They haven't had this issue in the bubble with Major League Baseball. And to be fair, man, not everybody is playing in a bubble. Look at what's happening across or overseas. Look at what's happening with the English Premier League. They're not playing in a bubble, and they figured it out. Major League Baseball has just been an absolute dumpster fire when it comes to keeping their players safe. Now, some of that is on the players. You got to hold yourselves accountable and responsible. This is just a mismanagement on all sides.
I think the problem with the Marlins was, Carrington, that too many guys got it and it was too quick. Baseball had to have known that at some point half of a roster was going to come down with it, and then they're going to have to come up with a backup plan. They just didn't think it'd be the first week. Because let's say they did what you're suggesting, and they just said, all right, Marlins, you're without 19 of your players, so bring up 19, I don't want to call them scrubs, but guys that there's a reason why they weren't on the big league roster. So if we're going to do that after 1 week, well, what happens when we do that for a second team and a third team and a fourth team? Now it basically becomes a full season with replacement players and even more hokey than it already is. That was a problem for baseball. Not that this happened to the Marlins, that it happened to the Marlins after 4 days of the season starting.
Two.
For lack of a better term, baseball has been somewhat of a trial balloon for the NFL. Carrington, with 20% of baseball not playing tonight, are you now more concerned about the upcoming NFL season encountering similar problems?
I mean, I think you would have to be more concerned based on what's happened in Major League Baseball, but I do want to give the NFL this benefit of the doubt. They appear to be on the same plan. They're testing every day. They appear to take this a little bit more seriously than Major League Baseball. Like, their thing, just maybe it's just the difference in it playing out in public and playing out in front of us as opposed to playing out in private. But Major League Baseball, they haven't given me any reason to believe from a PR standpoint that they can get their act together and that they can correct the problem and work accordingly. The NFL has given me reason to believe this was the case. The players had an issue with the NFL. They got all the testing protocols. And the NFL players have openly been talking about holding each other accountable. Think about what we heard from Tyrann Mathieu. They seem to understand in the NFL, it's up to us. Hey, if we're opting that we're going to play this year, the only people that are going to keep us safe are everybody in this locker room. So we got to do so to get to this money. That hasn't been really the message we're hearing in Major League Baseball. So I will hold out hope when it comes to the NFL that maybe this is just a Major League Baseball problem.
That's a lot of guys in a lot of locker rooms just to say, well, everybody's acting like an adult and doing what they're supposed to do. What are we talking about? 53-man rosters, 20-man coaching staff, support staff. That's 100 people in every one of these locker rooms times 32 teams. I'm not good at math, but I'm not going to trust 3,200 people to do the right thing. Something tells me the NFL is going to run into a problem also, and the problem is going to be this. What do we always say about the quarterback position in the NFL? It's the single most important position in all of team sports. Well, it's different if Jacob Junis comes down with COVID or Hunter Dozier. They go away for a while, and then they come back. Even to some extent, if J.R. Smith leaves the bubble and has to go away because he gets COVID for a couple of weeks. If Patrick Mahomes gets it, if Aaron Rodgers gets it, if Lamar Jackson gets it, and they're gone for a couple of weeks, and a 16-game season, that really shifts the balance of power. So that's going to be the problem for the NFL. It's one thing when a random baseball player on a random team gets it. It's a completely different thing when Lamar Jackson comes down with COVID.
Three. Yesterday, the SEC announced they'd be playing a conference-only football schedule that starts on September 26th. Ross Dellinger of SI joined the show earlier today to describe why they made that move.
A long time coming. I think what we're going to see is most conferences go that direction. You know, it makes sense. You know, it's going to be tough enough in a pandemic to play. You want to cut down your season a little bit to provide some open weeks of flexibility if you have outbreaks and postponed games and cancellations, and then you can all operate under the same testing kind of in-season protocols.
The Pac-12 has announced a similar plan today, and the ACC had one earlier in the week. Sean, do you think it's smart for college football to start later in the year?
No, if anything, Rob, I would have pushed it up a little bit. But then, of course, there's a bunch of other issues that come into play in logistics and travel and trying to get everything taken care of. Moving it back makes it a little bit easier. Like anything in life, you can buy yourself a little bit more time. Speaking of buying themselves time, when's the Big 12 going to announce exactly? Like, I'm talking about the exact details of what their plan is, because we found out last week that pretty much all the other Power 5 conferences decided on what they're going to do. Today, the SEC made a decision. So I think we're going to find out pretty quick what the plan is. CDOT, the problem with college football is this. How many times do we talk about college football and the money that they make and how money makes the world go round? Well, what's going to happen to these universities? I'm not just talking about the football programs, but the actual universities and the structure of American college if we don't have college football this year. This isn't something like the NFL where for our entertainment purposes that we need. I actually think that we need this just to keep colleges the way they are.
I understood the logic whenever it was explained where you're going to have a lot of kids going back to this college campus, some who have been taking the virus very seriously, some who, let's face it, have not been taking the virus very seriously. If we saw an outbreak on one baseball team with 30 people, we don't think there's going to be an outbreak at one of these major universities, or at Texas, at Kansas, at Missouri, you name it. There's going to be an outbreak here. How do you handle it? So I think what the plan was, hey, let's at least see how colleges handle the virus. Let's see what kind of arises here over the first month. And then we kind of buy ourselves some time where we're not trying to start football while all the rest of this stuff is happening. I mean, it's going to be walking the tightrope this entire time. These Major League Baseball players, at least according to Major League Baseball, they're not following the guidelines. We think that every college student that plays on these teams are going to be following it. Like, it is an incredible ask for these colleges. But I agree with you when it comes to this. I don't know how many of these colleges from an economic standpoint are going to be able to function. We saw from Jamie Poehler, who's the athletic director at Iowa State, he believes they will lose $40 million in athletic revenue if they do not have a football season. What does that mean for your education side of it? What does it mean for your other sports? They have to try to get some semblance of a college football season. Is I think we'll see some college football. Will they finish it? That's a major question.
To your point, comparing kind of college students and the lifestyle that they live compared to adults, Major League Baseball players, NFL players, who in theory they've lived a little longer, got a little wiser, maybe they've got families to be concerned about.
To be fair though, here when it comes to this, is from the very beginning we've told these college kids you're not the most at risk for it. So we've seen the people who seem to have the greatest disregard for the virus are the people right in the ages of who go to college.
That's true, but those people have grandparents and those people deal with the older crowd.
They
the
don't
compromise.
Seem to care that much. Whenever they were down at Coco Keys or whatever the hell that place was called, they didn't seem to care too much about their grandparents when they were in that Rona cesspool they were in.
Coconuts is what it's called.
You know what I'm talking about.
In non-COVID times, that place is great.
The Hawk had an outbreak over the summer.
Well, yeah, because
I never been to Lawrence in the summer. How in the hell do you have an outbreak in the club in the summer? Ain't nobody there.
You know who's, like, if you want the dictionary definition of a dumbass, get an 18 to 22 year old college kid. You know how I know that? Because I was one. In fact, I was a college kid from like 18 to 29. But that's besides the point, Rob. That's not the group of people that you want to trust away from your parents for the first time and be like, these are the people. Plus, what are we talking about on the NFL roster? 53 people? How many kids are on a college football roster? There's 3 number threes and 4 number fours. There's like 102 people. There's 6 different kickers. And we think that that's who's going to keep each other safe from COVID? Yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
Four.
The weird thing is they are probably safer on campus and in the safety protocol than they are anywhere else. Like, some of these colleges have done a decent job with the numbers. Like, they've had great numbers of people that take the test. That might be the safest place for some of these kids.
Yeah, the problem for sports, though, that we're finding out is the number basically has to be zero, right? Because the Cardinals today have canceled their game. And remind me how many positive tests they've had?
Two.
They've had 2 positive tests, and they said, nah, we can't take the risk. That's going to be a problem, Rob, going forward. If that's our threshold, if 1 or 2 guys get it, because Carrington's been talking about now since baseball come up with their plan, they're just going to put their nose to the grindstone. Somebody gets COVID, they're going to keep going. And we find out today, based on the Cardinals' actions, that's not what's happening right now.
Antonio Brown finds himself back in the news as he has officially been suspended for the first 8 games of the coming NFL regular season. We'll still wait to see if there's any more suspensions that will come down as we wait the, verdict on a civil trial. But CDOT, does having the knowledge what the suspension will be make him more likely to sign with an NFL team?
Yeah, absolutely. There's certainly more certainty around Antonio Brown than there was 24 hours ago. If you are a team and you are in the Antonio Brown business, which there's always going to be because the last time we saw him, he was an immense talent, then you should sign him this weekend. You should sign Antonio Brown, and now you know at worst he's out for the first 8 games. Now, we don't know what could happen because he still has another meeting, a trial, September 15th for a different case. So maybe he gets another 8 games and he doesn't play this season. But if you are in the Antonio Brown business, you now know at a minimum he's out for the first 8 games. You probably don't need him for the first 8 games. I disagree with you on this point. Antonio Brown, to me, is not going to any team who doesn't have a chance to win a Super Bowl. Like, if you are the 8-8 team and think that he's going to get you from 8 wins to 10 wins, you're wasting your time. You need to be San Francisco and you think he can get you a Super Bowl. You need to be New Orleans and he think he gets you a Super Bowl. You need to be Kansas City and you think he can get you to back-to-back Super Bowls. If you're not one of those top 6-8 teams, to me, you should not be in the Antonio Brown business.
I don't know that a locker room like Kansas City or like San Francisco, the teams that played in the Super Bowl, would be interested in doing anything that might disrupt it, even if they thought that they would get Antonio Brown from 3 years ago that had 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns. Sometimes the truth is you don't need that guy. We saw that last year, at least from those two teams. Now, that being said, if he ended up signing with Baltimore, would that make Baltimore a better team? Would that make them scary? Would that make them closer to Kansas City? If they get the on-the-field Antonio Brown, yeah. But Carrington, the reason that I don't think one of these really good teams is going to go after that guy, one, he's suspended, so he's not going to be there for the first half of the season. Two, he's proven that he's a troublemaker. And three, he hasn't been on the field for 2 years. I don't think that there's a team that thinks that they can win the Super Bowl that wants Antonio Brown. There might be a team that thinks they're on the cusp, a Minnesota Vikings, an Indianapolis Colts, a Denver Broncos type team. But if I'm one of these established good football teams, I'm running as far and as fast as I possibly can from Antonio Brown.
If I'm those teams, I just question if we can control them if we're not great. Like, if you're Denver, let's say, and you're trying to make the playoffs, and you start off 4-4.
I feel like it's worth it in that situation. That's the situation to me that I'd give it a shot with Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I just don't know. At this point with Antonio Brown, to me, I don't know. He's so used to getting so much of a volume. He's so used to a certain level of winning. I don't know if you can manage him in a situation where he's not playing on one of the better teams. Like, I wouldn't take a chance on him anyway, but that would be my thing. If you're going to sign him, you better have a strong enough locker room with a strong enough presence to do so. I don't know if you do that if you're the Los Angeles Chargers. I don't know if Tyrod Taylor is keeping him in check and Anthony Lynn's keeping him in check. That's just me, though.
It's just the more you talk about it, I think about these teams that all – those teams that all affect the Chiefs. So if he ended up a Bronco, if he ended up – a Charger, something like that, a Raven. I'm a Chiefs fan. That's a scary proposition. I mean, you add Antonio Brown to an offense last year for the Ravens that had the best rushing attack, that had Hollywood Brown, that had the MVP, and now you give him Antonio Brown. If he can stay on the field, that's scary. The problem for him has, you know, been staying on the field.
So let's talk about speaking of five. So let's talk about the on-the-field, Rob. No worries. Let's talk about that. The Kansas City Royals, they are back home for their home opener today. Very weird that on the home opener of the Kansas City Royals, they are not even the biggest story in sports or in Kansas City, really, given everything that is going on. We have Kyle Glazer on from Baseball America. He gave us his scouting report on Chris Bubich.
So when the Royals drafted him out of Stanford, he's kind of that crafty back-end lefty who, you know, didn't blow you away with velocity, but he threw hard enough. He had good secondary pitches, still with the strike zone. You know, the classic guy you see as a number four for a starter. Well, his fastball velocity ticked up quite a bit his first full season. Last year, he was running his fastball up to 94 with heavy sink. So you have a guy that already really knew how to pitch, mix his pitches, hit his spots, change eye levels, all the things that make someone a really good pitcher beyond just their stuff. Then he added stuff on top of it. He led the minor leagues in strikeouts last year with 185, made the Futures game. And the other thing with him that's really eye-opening here is he finished last year at high Class A. The Royals are bringing this guy up from A-ball straight to the majors.
So this is where Hope Harrison sits as we are now 1 week into the Major League Baseball season. We are sort of sitting around and waiting on a comment. Like, so much about this season is knowing that the Royals are not really a playoff team, knowing that they're not one of the more talented teams. There's probably two or three more talented teams than them in the division, but you're sort of hoping that they can do what they've done so far. You stay at or around 500, and then you can kind of catch lightning in a bottle and get hot, and then randomly on that one out of 100 chance, you can actually make the playoffs. That's kind of what this season is about. But I think the hope can be a much bigger thing is the Royals are more aggressive with prospects than we've seen them be over the last couple of years. I don't know if Brady Singer would have been up here if this was a regular year. Like, I don't know if Brady Singer in a normal 162 has two starts in the first 10 games for the Kansas City Royals, but he's able to in this season.
He wouldn't. I mean, just to answer your question, he wouldn't, because you would assume through 162, that means there was no COVID. And if there was no COVID, then you would see Junis and Keller. So I can almost guarantee you Brady Singer wouldn't be here right now.
So I'm looking at Bubich in this scenario. He 1,000% would not be
1,000% no chance.
And I would say he's behind other guys in terms of who you're really optimistic about. But, hey, let's throw these guys in a trial by fire. It's always going to be difficult to pitch in the major league, but you cannot pitch in a easier situation than the one that you're currently going to pitch in. You're pitching today in the home opener, and there's zero people in the stands. It's not the same nerves and anticipation that you would feel in a game. So now's a chance to sort of steal some major league experience. This team's probably not making the playoffs. This team's probably going to finish under 500. But let's use this time to get some valuable experience for some guys where next year we can say, all right, we got 12 Brady Singer starts under his belt. We got 8 Bubich starts under his belt. Maybe Jackson Cowart comes up at some point this season. Like, use this as an opportunity down the road to get some guys some valuable experience where you don't have to wait till September to do it. You can have them pitch in somewhat meaningful games where the other team's going for it as equally as you're trying to go for it. So the hope is somewhat tied into that they can get hot and catch that lightning in a bottle as long as they can stay around 500. The hope also is you're starting to see some of the young talent. And at some point when this team gets good, because I do believe they'll be good at some point, you are starting to see some of the pieces and some of those foundational building blocks where, all right, when they play one of those meaningful games in July of 2022, you see 9 of the guys that are playing right now, they'll be on that team playing in that meaningful game late in the summer.
Yeah, even if you don't make the playoffs this year, use this season as kind of a turbo boost. Remember on the original Mario Kart where if you ran over those arrows going forward, you would fling yourself forward? Do that this year. Like, this is a chance where you've basically found free money. Go out there in a normal season. Brady Singer probably wouldn't be called up to late in the season, if at all. Well, he started the second game of the season, and after seeing him twice, I think that he might be the best starting pitcher on this team, at least right now. You mentioned tonight, Bubich, less pressure. This has to be the least pressure that any starting pitcher has ever faced, not only in a career opener, but in a home opener. There's no fans there. This is as good of an opportunity as for a guy that the highest level he's ever pitched at. Think about this. The highest level you've ever pitched is single A ball. I don't know if you've ever been to a single A minor league baseball game. They're playing in front of friends, family, the mascot, and like 2,000 other people. That's it. Well, tonight there's going to be less people, but it's in a big league ballpark, so not a lot of pressure. But the thing about all these guys, Carrington, is you don't have to hit with all of them. There's so many of them with Singer and Bubich and Lynch, and you mentioned Cowart, Asa Lacy, their first pick this year. If they can hit, let's say, 2 out of those 6 guys turn out to be capable major league pitchers, then I'm with you. There's no reason to think that maybe next year, maybe this team's a year ahead of schedule, that they can't be competitive because of what 2020's provided.
Who knows how long this season is going to go, and who knows if the Royals are going to make the playoffs. Again, they're probably not going to make it. But let's get something out of the 2020 season. Let's get some experience. And if you're not going to get playoff experience for these guys, let's try to get some valuable major league experience out of that. And that's what this is. Again, Brady Singer might have 12 starts in this thing. Chris Bubich, who in a normal year maybe starts a couple of games late in September when the Royals are just kind of going through the motion, he has a chance to pitch in meaningful games for the Royals. Let's try to get something out of this. So this is encouraging. Like, if you are a Royals fan, you should be happy about what the Royals are doing so far. They're managing to try to win every game. And to me, so far, they're doing a really good job of balancing getting the young guys experience. And let's not make it seem like Singer hasn't deserved it with his play on the field. You said it. He might be this team's best pitcher right now. So it's not like they're doing him some service or they're kind of placating to the fans by getting the young guys here. He's deserving of being here. Let's see if Chris Bubich is deserving of being here. He'll get his opportunity tonight.
I'm going to ask the Royals to do me a favor, to do me a solid if they could. By the way, Royals baseball coming up next when we sign off here at 6 o'clock on 610 Sports Radio. Can y'all just do me a favor and win the next couple of games? Because right now they're 3-4. Then they'd be 5-4, finally over 500 for the first time this season. And then we can start to have the conversation of, okay, this team can hang around. This team's not out of it. And maybe with 10 days or a week left in the season, they can have a little bit of a run and they can actually make the playoffs. Because heading into last night's game, Carrington, I was on the edge of my seat watching it. Like, if they lose, and I know this isn't the case, but I was watching it like, if they lose this game, then all this conversation we're having, all this Hope Harrison crap, it's over. They're 2-5, Detroit's 5-2, and they're looking way up in the standings. But the fact they won, I'm still on team Hope Harrison. I'm just asking a favor. Can this team win a couple of games, get above 500, so I can just take a deep breath? Is that asking that much?
Well, I mean, all we asked this team to do was tread water. They certainly treaded water. Now they're coming back home. Let's see how they can play. Speaking of the home opener, here is new Royals owner John Sherman on the opener today.
I'm grateful that our home opener is finally here. Grateful for our players, our partners, our staff, our community, and for you, our season ticket members and fans. All of you have stuck with us on this unscripted journey. Now it's our turn to finally return the favor with the joy of Royals baseball. We can't wait for the day when we welcome fans back to this place we all love. In the meantime, come join us on TV, on radio, and on our social channels. And when the time is right, know this, Kansas City, we'll be rolling out the red carpet to welcome you back to the K. I can't wait to see you.
Yesterday, to me, was the prime example of you cannot make the playoffs in the first 10 days of the season, but you can certainly miss the playoffs. Today, if we were coming off a 3 out of 4 series loss to the Tigers, and the Royals sit 2-5, and the Tigers sit at 5-2, and they are 3 games out of second place, I think it's safe to say they ain't making the playoffs in that scenario. And now it's, hey, let's bring up all the young guys. All I asked this team to do was stay competitive and tread water and give yourself a chance with the 45 games to go. We still got a long way to go, not just with the virus, but with this team. But you got through step one, and now you've unlocked step two, and now you continue to give yourself a chance. At some point, you got to start winning these series and not just tying these series or losing it like you did to the Indians, but you continue to give yourself a chance by staying in it and staying competitive.
And at some point, Adalberto Mondesi's got to start hitting. I mean, we kept saying this entire offseason, well, it's only 60 games. This is a great chance. He doesn't have to stay healthy through 162. Well, through 7, he's hitting .100 and not fielding great either. It's kind of the haves and the have-nots. Witt is doing what we expected him to do. Mikel Franco looks great. I didn't know what to expect from him. Jorge Soler's knocked out a couple of home runs, but then there have been a couple of guys at the bottom of the lineup that have struggled. Those are the guys, especially Mondesi. He's the guy that, for the next week or so, I'm going to keep a really close eye on him.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk about the, I would say, landmark day in the NBA. But before we get to that, there is a new broadcast team for Monday Night Football. It saddens me that Booger won't be a part of it.
Listen, all these diva wide receivers wanted to go to the bathroom. As a defensive lineman, we didn't go to the bathroom. You sat on the bench, did your business, and you got up. Well, these are the type of plays that historically have gone against the Vikings. The Minneapolis Miracle. Plays that are fluke plays that went against this team. I'm sure Vikings fans are saying it's about time we get one of these plays to go our way. When you look at Kelvin Benjamin, guys, he's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
It's cool outside, and as a player, you're thinking, you know what, I don't need to drink much water. Mm. And as a player, you actually need to drink more when it's like this, because your body still sweats the same.
So true. Also in the game is an extra offensive lineman. So I think they're bringing an extra lineman in the block.
Took that hit just moments ago from Tracy Walker. He went to the medical tent, and now they will take a look at him back in the locker room.
I'm glad he's okay, but that was still a terrible call against Tracy Walker.
I don't like how they did my guy Joe Tessitore, man.
He got screwed.
Joe Tessitore is one of the best play-by-play broadcasters that this country has to offer. And they gave my man no weapons. They put my man into a gunfight with 2 butter knives. That's what they did. They gave my dog Jason Witten and Booger McFarland. Howard Cosell couldn't coach up those two individuals. Jim Nance would not work with Booger McFarland. He would quit. He would say, you know what? I'm done doing football games. Let me just stay on college basketball and the Masters. I refuse to do it.
Honestly,
just
calling them butter knives, that's a compliment. Those guys were sporks. There was nothing to work with.
Joe Tessitore was given no resources to go out there and give us a good Monday Night Football product. But they have fixed it. Steve Levy, Brian Griese, and Lewis Riddick are calling Monday Night Football. Riddick, this was a no-brainer. I don't think ESPN was going to go outside their organization to fill this hire because of everything that's going on, and money is probably a little tight up there at ESPN, but you get a play-by-play group that people like, and I think it's going to be solid. This is not a dynamic one by any means. It's not one of the best booths that we've seen, but anything is an improvement over what they just had.
And they've tried all kinds of different things with Tony Kornheiser and Booger McFarland and Dennis Miller. I like kind of this combination where Lewis Riddick, he's not exactly Dave Chappelle, but his information is as good as it comes when it comes to the NFL. Brian Griese's kind of in the middle. He's definitely got a personality. And Steve Levy, I find Steve Levy hilarious. I can never tell if he's being a smartass or if he's being serious. And he's really good behind the microphone. To me, this is a good fit. I don't think people are going to complain like they have the last couple of years.
Yesterday was a landmark day for the NBA. I'll explain how coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on the drive, 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. We'll also take your questions coming up in a little bit and ask us anything. Phone line 913-576-7610. I want to ask you guys this question. Everybody got their jokes off on Lou Williams and the chicken wings. It was funny. He left the bubble for an excused absence. Someone he was close to passed away. On the way home, he stopped at Magic City. To my understanding, we have no evidence that he hung out at Magic City, that he was dancing, that he was making it rain, that he was throwing money. He stopped in to get something to eat. Everybody talked about it. Now I look at what's happening in Major League Baseball. So we saw Bob Nightingale report this, and now Scott Miller. MLB's internal investigation found that the Marlins were very lax in following protocols during the Atlanta trip this weekend, with players going out, players in hotel bars, and etc. A lot of people in MLB are unhappy with Miami. The players who did this for Miami should be fined and suspended. They should be. They should face the same ridicule that we gave Lou Williams here over this last week for the chicken wings. This is stupid. This is really stupid what happened with the Miami Marlins. And their carelessness could potentially bring down the rest of the league. Like, there's no other way to say it. The carelessness of the people on the Marlins that went out and was hanging out and having a good old time on the road when they were in Atlanta could potentially bring down the sport. I'll give baseball this. I've been saying it this entire time. Your plan is only as good as the people that follow the plan. None of us know if the NFL is going to work or not. But I say this, I assume they are getting the best medical advice from the smartest people that our country and the world have to offer. If every single person in the NFL listens to that, they can get through the season. They might have a couple of tests here or there, but they'll be able to get through the season because the billion-dollar entity that is the NFL, they're not trying to miss out on those checks, most like everybody else. You would think the same thing. Didn't we hear these baseball players talking about how they wanted to play more games and make as much money as they could and how important it was to get back to work and play baseball? The first weekend out, you're out at the bars hanging out and having a good old time and bringing the Rona back to the squad. When Major League Baseball did this internal investigation, they should be able to identify which Marlins players were the ones that broke protocol. And the same way that Lou Williams is being suspended for 2 days without pay because he broke it, that should be the same thing to the Marlins. We should be able to identify who broke the protocol. They should be fined and suspended the same way that Lou Williams is.
Are we sure that it's a basketball problem or a baseball problem? And with all due respect to Luda and Usher and Lil Jon, it's not an Atlanta problem, because where was the strip club that Lou Williams got the wings at?
Magic City.
In Atlanta, right? Mm-hmm. And where did the Marlins go out and get all this stuff going down Atlanta, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, again, there's no reason to think that Lou Williams did anything other than get food to go. Like, we have no reason to believe. At this point, we would know if Lou was in there making
right,
it rain.
But if it was Wendy's or Freddy's or McDonald's or any of the following drive-thrus or fast food places or chicken wing places, it wouldn't be an issue. When you get chicken wings at the strip club, it's going to be a story. Sorry, bro.
I agree, but I'm saying is I still think he gets fined and suspended. Now, I'm with you. I don't think the backlash is as strong. I don't think he gets the jokes. But if Lou Williams was photographed with people outside Chick-fil-A, I still think he gets suspended for the two games and then loses. Lou Williams, as much funny as we laughed about him, he missed out on $200,000 because he is not playing in their first two games. That's a significant penalty that I think resonates to the rest of the players. Sure. The NBA has said, you can leave the bubble. They're not forcing any NBA player to be in the bubble. We don't want anybody here that doesn't want to be here. But if you leave the bubble, you need to have a good reason for leaving the bubble. You have to be tested every single day while you're out the bubble. And then when you come back, you have to go through a mandatory time of quarantine before you can be around the rest of your team. The NBA has a plan here. Major League Baseball needs to have a plan that, hey, we're telling the players what to do. But we can't 24-7. This isn't Shawshank Redemption. We can't have somebody on you at all times. But if we find out that you're at Aura, that you're at Mosaic, that you're down at KC Live having a good old time, you are suspended for 7 days, and those 7 days are without pay. If Major League Baseball wants to be serious about finishing this season, that's what they need to do. You need to send a message to, I don't care who it is, Mike Trout or the 30th guy on the Miami Marlins. If you break protocol, this is what will happen.
Lou Williams, my dude. I mean, those better have been some good-ass wings, better than everybody's describing, because I've had great wings. I've been to Wings Cafe. I've been to the Peanut. I've had wings as good as they come. I've never had $200,000 wings.
No, I've never had those wings either. But that's what needs to happen. Like, there's really no other way to put it. That's what needs to happen here in Major League Baseball. And we say all this stuff about the Marlins. They need to tell us who violated the rules so we can publicly mock them and make fun of them, like I know we all will. And then they need to be fined and suspended.
We wouldn't have heard of them anyway. Let's be honest. I mean, they're on the Marlins. And 19 of those guys came down with it. I feel like it's going to be tough to kind of pinpoint and say, this guy gave it to that guy and gave it to this guy. Clearly what's going on is the Marlins went somewhere as a group that they weren't supposed to, because if you just kind of look at the way that COVID works and the outbreaks and the way that it's affected the sports landscape, there are more Marlins players that have tested positive this last week than on every other team combined in Major League Baseball. So I was joking when I was saying it's an Atlanta thing, even saying it's a baseball thing. So far, I think it's a Marlins thing. But the problem is it's become such a thing that they've been asked to go away, where tonight 20% of the baseball schedule has been canceled by and large because of the domino effect that the Marlins created, where you're right, one bad night for a basically irrelevant baseball team might end up canceling the baseball season.
Speaking of the NBA, yesterday they had a remix to the national anthem. I'm here for the remixes of the national anthem. I've heard your kids sing the national anthem. I've heard these choirs sing the national anthem. I've heard Fergie sing the national anthem. Oh, it took the NBA restart for us to put a little bit of bass, a little thump into the national anthem. You could not have a better opening night of your sport than the NBA did yesterday under the circumstances. The bubble seems to work. They had two really competitive games. They're having a day of games right now in the NBA. Tomorrow, you got a full slate. Basically, from the time you wake up tomorrow until you go to sleep, there's going to be NBA games. The NBA, the early winners of the sports bubble.
The national anthem, not exactly Whitney Houston at the Super Bowl during Desert Storm. It was good, and I liked the change on a song that we've heard basically done the same way for every sporting event for such a long time. It was good. I like the change. I love the product. I love what I saw last night. And you know me, Carrington. I've been very skeptical since the sports have come back, because I was the idiot who said, just give me sports. Just give me horse. Just give me mini golf. Give me weightlifting. I don't care what it is. I'll be watching. And then I saw horse and I went, that wasn't very good. Then I saw the UFC without fans and I kind of went, that's not what I was expecting. Basketball was better than I thought that it was going to be. And I think it's a combination of everything. Now, the play was a little suspect. LeBron didn't look great. Lonzo Ball looked awful. There were a lot of turnovers and bad shots. But by and large, the product, what I actually saw, the play-by-play, what I saw from all the kind of the sights and the sounds, and I thought there was going to be a lot of squeaking in the shoes, which would get annoying. I didn't think that the digital fans was a good idea. And then after watching it last night, it was actually as close to the regular product as any sport has been so far.
I mean, the presentation so far on these games, I think, have actually been very commendable. I think what baseball's done, given their circumstances, I mean, they're not playing in an environment that is tailor-made for no fans. I think the NBA has had time to kind of dress the set up and kind of deal with the fact of, hey, people aren't going to be here. How do we make this look good on television?
The cardboard cutouts are dumb, though. I'm sorry. I know people have mixed opinions on that. I like what they did with the NBA fans and the electric and all that. The cardboard cutouts, the empty stands look better than those silly cardboard cutouts of baseball
stuff. Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, I don't know how you can really make a scenario of you have a baseball stadium that's built for 40,000 people. No one is supposed to be there, but we're still going to play these games. How do we make this look good on television? There is no good option in this scenario.
Tupac hologram. Coachella did it 8 years ago. What's the problem?
How are the Royals going to do that? You keep saying this. I just want to know how.
No, not the Royals. Okay, teams with more money. Bigger market. The Dodgers.
How are the Yankees going to put holograms in all of the seats?
It doesn't have to be Tupac in every single seat. Just deceased performers. John Lennon sitting in one. Janis Joplin's in one. Big Pun's in one. I can keep going. Eventually, you can get to 40,000 of them. It'd be great.
You definitely have a chance to do that. So before we get out of here, we'll answer your questions. 913-576-7610. It's a segment that you control. It's called Ask Us Anything.
I have a question.
Yes.
In these conjugal visits, you can have sex with women?
Yep.
You sure can. Okay, I'll do it.
No questions. No questions.
That's a very good question.
Yes, I thought so too.
If you have a question, 913-576-7610, ask your question. We will answer it for you here on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the radio.com app. What are you guys up for the weekend, or have up for the weekend?
I got a wedding to go to, which is going to be really interesting because I'm pretty – like this guy plays softball with me, and last Sunday he said when he walks down the aisle he's planning on wearing a mask. And I know social distancing and mask wearing is something that we have to do. This is going to be very, very interesting. And I'm going to be chilling at home a lot, to be dead honest with you, because my dogs – have you ever seen dogs with the cones on their heads?
I have.
The cone head dogs? I got two of them right now because they both got neutered yesterday, and one of them's already ripped up the stitches. So besides the wedding with the mask on, I'm going to be chilling at home with the conehead dogs.
Rob, can I ask you a question really quick? And I'm sorry I don't give you a chance to answer what your weekend plans are. This is my question. You play in a softball league, right?
That I do.
Yesterday, Rob was praying for a rainout.
Yeah, why were
you doing
that?
And I was so happy I got it.
What's the purpose of playing in the softball league in your free time if you're hoping that the league gets canceled?
Maybe you had something better to do. Do you want to watch hoops last night or something?
95% of the time I want to play softball. Last night we had Sporting KC, we had Royals baseball, we had hoops. That's the first night we've had three major sports on TV at the same time in what? Forever? It feels like forever ago? I wasn't going to miss that night for beer league softball. And beer league softball in the drizzling rain? Pass.
It did feel good to be able to hit the whatever it's called, the flip bat buck in the last channel, and go from sport to sport instead of documentary to documentary or commercial to commercial. Like Rob said, I was checking out a little baseball, had a little NBA action going on for a minute. I even checked out that Sporting Kansas City game because I had a little bit of money on it. But yeah, last night it felt like we were back to normal, at least for a night.
I can't remember the last time that I watched every single dribble of two consecutive NBA games. Like, I remember the last time I watched every dribble of a basketball game. I remember every time that I watched the dribble of a college game or an NBA game. I sat down, once I got home, I watched every single second of both of the games on TNT.
Good games, too.
I was so happy yesterday the NBA was back.
Good product, good games. Both came down to, I still don't know what happened with LeBron, throwing up that wild shot, getting the rebound and put it in. But that's your dude, and all's well that ends well. They won that game. It is kind of ironic that Rudy Gobert, the face of COVID sports in America, got the first bucket and the last bucket in the Jazz game last night.
913-576-7610. C-Dot, how do you think the college basketball season will be affected by Corona? Does it give Missouri a better chance? I actually think Missouri has a good enough roster to make the NCAA tournament this year. I think this team's actually pretty strong that they're going to have. How do I think it's going to affect the season? I do not think college basketball season will start in the winter semester. I think it will start in the spring semester. I think college basketball will not start until after the first of the year.
I didn't mean to laugh like that. That was my natural trigger reaction. That was rude
I just
to
want
me.
To point.
Very
just,
rude of me, and I apologize.
That's fine.
I want to apologize
I'm just
to
saying,
you.
This weekend, Rob, you've been here. You've taken a lot of shots at Missouri. I haven't done anything for Kansas. Don't worry. You'll see.
I think next year they've got about the same chance of making the NCAA tournament. I don't think MU's basketball team's good enough, and I think the FBI is good enough, or KU basketball's probably not going to have a chance next year. But we'll see. We'll see.
Text line 913-576-7610. C-Dot, the girl I'm seeing is a legit 9.5 out of 10. I may be a 6.5 on a good day. How do I keep her interested? This is the thing that men always
money.
Miss out on.
How'd you get her in the first place, Mr. 6.5? Your money, your bank account, dog.
Girls don't care about that stuff nearly as much as guys think that they do. You can get any girl if you can do these two things well. Make her laugh, make her feel comfortable. If you can do those two things, you got a shot with way more women than you think.
You know what makes it a lot easier, though, than having to tell jokes and to make her comfortable? Buy her something really nice. You know, buy her a new car, buy her a new condo, buy her a new ring. I'm not
who's
saying
this guy Patrick Mahomes. What? Who's out here buying these girls cars and condos?
If you're up 3 points, 6.5 don't get with 9.5 just
what?
Because they're funny.
I'm trying to give my guy legitimate
it
advice
happen.
Here. It's I'm a, trying to give him legitimate
now six
advice.
And a half might get with 6.8 or 7.2s because they're funny. Just because you're funny, that might get you a point or two. You don't raise up three levels on the male to female scale.
I'm telling you.
Down to 0.8 and 0.2 on the scale?
Yeah.
I would hate your scale.
Well, most of my life I've been a 5.1, so.
I'm telling you, all you need to do are these three things, and you can make any relationship work. Have a good sense of humor, make her feel comfortable, and listen to what she's saying. If you do those three things, I'm telling you, you got a shot with any of them.
Yeah, because we've never seen a geeky looking guy with no personality in a Ferrari with a 10. That's never happened. You got to be funny to get the girl. No, you got to have
said,
a fat wallet to get the girl.
I said
there's many different ways to skin the cat. All these are ways to do it. I'm just suggesting the easiest is with the money. It might not be the best at, you know, to build a relationship for the future.
You drive a Honda. How are you pulling them then?
Because I got more game than Milton Bradley, bro.
Okay, so you're doing one of the other three things.
I make her laugh. I feel very comfortable. And just to correct you, I've got a Honda and a Toyota Camry.
I just learned a lot about Sean's paycheck here. That's what I just learned.
Yeah, I'm like, how are you doing this then? You ain't out here buying Ferraris and condos and foolishness.
I told you, I bring a lot to the table.
Yeah, you make her laugh and you listen.
I bring a lot to the table.
913-576-7610. CDOT, where's Kendrick Lamar? I pray he didn't unofficially retire. I actually think, this is my theory. I do not know. This is my theory. I think Kendrick was actually going to release music this year. But if you can't tour, there's no reason to release new music right now. What are you releasing it for? Like, the music is not in streaming. The music is not in buying the album. The music is in your ability to go on tour with the music. So if you're not ready to do that, or if you can't do that, I think you should hold off on the music. I actually think Kendrick was planning on coming back, but now the Rona has postponed it.
Yeah, what he said. I wouldn't know Kendrick Lamar if he walked in here with his name tag on.
You wouldn't know who Kendrick Lamar is?
Nah, I wouldn't.
You don't like, you like never listen to him? I don't.
He's just not. I listened to him and people talked about him. Like, he was real big a couple of years ago. I listened to the song everybody's talking about. It wasn't for me and I moved on.
Text line 913-576-7610. Machine, what did you end up buying your lady for her birthday?
I ended up getting her a pair of diamond earrings because the two dogs that I was talking about with the cone heads right now, she's unbelievable with those dogs. And so I figured, she wanted diamonds. I had to get a little bit original. I would get her the dog paws. So it worked out very well. I will say that I did end up buying a card, which I feel like an idiot because that's the single biggest waste of money on planet Earth. Even if it's $2.99, I mean, come on. You didn't write what it says in the card. You're not the one that came up with that sappy crap. That's Hallmark. All you did was put your name on it, put an envelope, and lick it. She's going to take it, open it, tear up, and throw it away. But I was a sucker. I did buy her a card and a pair of earrings. She loved it.
That's good. I'm happy to hear that.
Thank you.
What's the best strip club wings in Kansas City? I would never eat food at a local strip club. This is the thing that I don't think people know unless you've gone to Atlanta. The strip club in Atlanta is basically the clubs that people go to. There's just strippers there. There's a difference between the strip clubs in Atlanta that you've been to before and Bazookas.
Did somebody tell you about the wings in Atlanta at that strip club? You weren't just there having a good time, then got hungry, and then ordered the wings.
It's 1,000% what happened.
You didn't know ahead of time that they had the wings, that they were famous for?
1,000%. Atlanta is different, bro. I know this. I listen to rap music in 2020. They tell me how cool Magic City is all the time. So I was there. They were saying, last call for the food. You've been having a good time. You were like, hey, I'm kind of hungry. Let me get something to eat. It's in Atlanta. Every other meal I had been fantastic while I was there. I was like, yo, they're $8. Let me grab some wings to go on the way out of here.
That's a good deal.
They then come in that little, you know, the little tray I'm talking about, like the serves nachos in. Man, I had those wings. I was like, this is fantastic. This is amazing. Now, I did pay $150 for a bottle of Absolut Vodka. So, I mean, I got ripped off at some point, but it's a strip club. It's designed for you to waste money.
I actually did once get a bacon cheeseburger at the Spearmint Rhino. Although it wasn't good. That's why I'm so like, were these wings? I feel like wings maybe at a strip club are kind of like hot dogs at the ballpark. You build them up to be a little bit better than they actually are.
No, I'm telling you.
I never had them, though.
I'm telling you, this place is different.
They're that good.
What's the best Taco Bell item? The Crunchwrap Supreme. The Crunchwrap Supreme is fantastic.
The Gordita, if it still exists.
Someone asked, how did you figure out the food situation on the birthday? Because you didn't want to use the gift cards. I then offered to buy the gift cards.
Oh, I had a spare, you know, do you keep a spare stash? I had a spare Benjamin that I forgot that I had under the bed. So,
were you Kevin McAllister?
It was $100, man. It's like I had $10,000 in a safe. I had $100.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.